When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
The one place where new opinions and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
My unconventional life, stranger in a southern land, inconclusive breakdown, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, and The Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Sports Entertainment. Sports Entertainment.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I'd down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to phones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
Hey now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another delicious episode. Delicious? What the fuck is wrong with me? Delicious episode. Welcome to it. Friday evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live on Rant EM Radio, I am your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by
the man they call Choppy.
Choppy, Choppy, Choppy. I gotta get that clip when they cut Val Venus's dick.
Get it.
Yeah, I'm going to get that for you. Choppy, 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 choppy.
And guess what?
What's that?
We're live!
That's right, on Rant EM Radio Media. We are part of the Shining Wizards Network, of course, as always. Yeah, so it is episode 199. We are 1 week away from the big 200 blow-off Christmas spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be insanity.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be great. It is going to be great. Yeah, it's been a rough week, man. I'm tired.
This week can go suck a big fat cock because it sucked so much ass. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing this overtime gimmick for the last month, and it's like, what the blood clot am I doing? Because I have to literally, I leave work 2 hours earlier on Fridays, and I was telling Choppy in pre-production, I have to fucking literally run across town to get a bus to get home, and, you know, just it's like a marathon running, you know.
Yeah, for those people that don't understand what the life, the commute is over here in New York, it is absolute shit. It's terrible. You do not know what we go through every single day. We literally have to get up at like 4 a.m. just to make sure we get to work on time.
Yeah,
beat all that traffic, and then come home, we're stuck in traffic for like 3 hours. Go figure.
Yeah, it's true.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's very true. It you know what? It takes a toll on you, man.
Yeah, and it's not the legitimate work that drains you. It's the commutes going home.
Yeah.
That are just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, I mean, excuse me, going in, like Indian food. going in is not bad. Coming home, doing the 2 hours after you tie, if you worked all day, is definitely a hassle.
It is. It just drains me. For like, if you're stuck in traffic for 2 hours, you're, like, ready to just pass out as soon as you get home. It's that bad.
Let's say hello to people in the chat room.
Who's in?
I don't even know who's in. Let's check. Probably nobody. Let's check that out. I can't. This computer's running so slow. I have to clean it this weekend. It's running like shit. I literally started at 9 o'clock, and I was getting a rainbow circle of death. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Let's see. Who's on? Who's in the chat room? Everybody's anonymous. The box just popped up over here.
Who we got?
Everybody's anonymous. So hello, anonymous people.
Hello, anonymous. We got 5 right now.
So. All right, so let me break down what's going to go down tonight. In about 5 or 10 minutes, our buddy, the big man Dingo, Rob Domingo, and his brother Elaine are probably going to call in from NXT. They're down in Florida near Orlando. There's a house show going on right now. Rob has terrible service. He has like 3 Gs, he said. But so far, TJ Perkins beat Roderick Strong. And he took a picture with them of TJ Perkins, Filipino brothers.
That's a little amazes me that TJ wins over Roddy.
Well, Roddy's doing Roddy did the job when we were at NXT too. I think he's like the new job guy until they find a spot for him.
It's terrible.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll talk about NXT. I want to talk a little bit about Booker T, and I want to talk about, of course, the whole Kofi Kingston thing, because I kind of started some shit on social media and inadvertently. So I think after Rob calls in, we'll get into all that. I don't want to start a conversation then Rob calls in. I told him to call in around 9:10. So, yeah, we have a good throwback for you tonight. It's going to be the prelude to our big 200th episode Christmas. Merry Gritmas next week. Tony from Shining Wizards, Mega Powers Bean Studio. I thought I invited Rage, but I don't think so. But of course, he's welcome to come anyway. I don't give a shit. But I spoke to Mr. X today. I think he's listening in. So what's up to Mr. X? All the way in the Midwestern areas there. Really bad weather over here lately, like the wind chills and stuff like that.
Believe it or not, we're supposed to get some really good weather on Sunday.
Supposed to get 3 inches of snow tomorrow.
Which is all going to melt.
By Sunday, like Choppy said. Yeah. You get like, it's going to be like 60 degrees. It's bipolar, man. Anybody who doesn't think global warming isn't a thing, you need to check yourself. Because
it's a thing, definitely.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can't. It's people are like, well, it's, I'm cold. I'm like, well, it's December. You're supposed to be cold. You can't win with people, man. You just can't.
You know what it is, though? You know, us hefty people, yeah. We love the winter.
But I love the winter either way. Even as a kid, I didn't like the heat. I was a little chubby kid, but even, like, I'm not a heat person. Never was. Plus, I look better in the winter.
There you go.
Got my fresh gear, my hats, my jerseys, you know?
Got to wear them throwbacks.
I got to wear the throwbacks. It's what I do. It's part of my, you know, my DNA. I'm an old soul, someone called me. Somebody said, Ray, you're an old soul.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I guess not.
It's a beautiful thing.
New intro tonight. I want to thank our man Brian from the Neckbreaker Podcast. Brian's got a new company, man. Gauntlet Creative. Go to gauntletcreative.com. Tony Z's in the building. What's up, Tony? Yeah, Brian did the new intro tonight. I just wanted to throw him some business because he's a good dude. And we support Neckbreaker. Let me get to that in a second. He's asking for something. I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Brian's got a new business, and I told him I'd throw him some business. I wanted a new intro, so he made me a new intro, and he gave me a real good deal on it. So if you guys have a podcast, or you have and you want web designs, you want audio production, you want to start a podcast, Brian does all that stuff. So go to gauntletcreative.com, or go to Neckbreaker Podcast, hit up MB Podcast, go hit up Brian. He's a good dude. And we love Brian. We support those guys. Those guys are really good, man. They're solid.
Yeah.
But everybody on the network is solid, though. Speaking of everybody on the network, congratulations to Nigel McGuinness. Hello.
Yo, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, Nigel's on Shining Wizards Network with his podcast.
Nice.
He's got a gig now with the fucking European title. They wrote the European title back.
Dude, I mean, I understand that you want to create another championship, but put it for NXT, not for fucking the main roster. That's another thing. Do we even know if that's going to be on the main roster?
All the good European people are Ring of Honor. So
Jesus Christ.
No disrespect to the rest of the guys that are in the tournament, but the Marty Skrulls of the world.
Marty is great.
And Will Ospreay, all those guys are Ring of Honor in Japan committed. So the Jack Gallagher guy, I think, is he in it? I don't even know.
I didn't see. I did not.
Yeah, so hello, Nigel. Hello. Nigel's getting a new gig. So we wish him really good things, and he's a good guy. He's a solid guy. He's a friend of the Wizard, and he's part of the network. So,
getting a nice little commentary gig
with the E. You know what? You can't. Yeah, and speaking of saying the E, fuck you, Kevin Garifo. That's right. I always say the E. He said some shit the other day. You know, fuck you. Fuck your hand, funny guy.
Well, Shining Wizards Tony just said that it's going to be a separate brand, apparently.
That belt is beautiful, by the way.
It is nice. I like it.
I mocked for it. It's pretty delicious. I'm not knocking it. You know, Triple H wants to make this global. He's halfway there. He's living on a prayer, you know? But I'm all for it. I like Nigel anyway on the stick. He's good. He's knowledgeable. And he has experience with some of these guys anyway, probably. So it's a win-win for everybody. I'm sure to be on the network. Nice tournament.
My question is, how many guys are going to be in? Do they?
I didn't even look. All I saw was the press conference. And at work, I was watching on a YouTube gimmick, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, all right, good. The belt was gorgeous, and everybody was marking out for the belt. I was like, oh, this is
probably good. One of the best-looking titles I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's classy. That's it. Classy. It's a Westchester belt, man. Howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
That's it. So, yeah, man, it was good shit, though. Good shit. A lot of good things happening this week. I have a major announcement to make next Friday night. I want to say it so bad. Only 3 or 4 people know. Not even Choppy knows. But it's going to be put it this way. The Ranch's doing big things. We took a couple of steps backwards this year from, you know, because of all the nonsense and, you know, behind the scenes shit too. And just like programming and, you know, it's been a rough deal. And it's been a rough year all around for everybody. So I think moving forward, we want to grow as a unit and grow as a team and expand and do some stuff. And I think this announcement is going to put us over to the point where it's going to be beneficial for all parties involved. And we're going to have a good time. And we're all, you know, we're all committed to doing something big. You know, this is something that we do for fun, but we take this shit pretty seriously. And if this is going to be a stepping stone to something good, I feel great that I'm a part of it. I feel great that I spearheaded it. And if I go away with anything this year, because I've had a terrible year personally, professionally, if I go away with anything positive this year, it's this. So it's going to be a good deal. So we'll make the announcement next week. What else is going on? I got a package today behind Choppy from Kathy Hummer. It costs like $25 to ship, and it's the lightest thing. So knowing Kathy, she probably wrapped it in 17 boxes. So my question to Choppy is, should we open it tonight, or should we open it next week when we exchange presents like we do at the Christmas show? I mean, we open it tonight. I mean, I don't care.
Just do it tonight.
Yeah, we'll open it after the break.
Sounds good.
So, all right. So I don't know if Rob's calling, and he said he had no signal. Let me check the Fizzone.
Do you want to continue with some news?
We should. Just give me 1 second here, because let me see what's going on. I didn't get no text messages yet from the man Dingaringo. What else? What else is going on?
Should we talk about the Brock Lesnar thing?
Of him getting suspended, you mean?
Suspended by UFC and then only getting fined $250,000? That's peanuts.
That's peanuts for him. Exactly. In Canadian, it's probably $4
million. Oh, man. I mean, like, why? Why even bother? I mean...
I don't know. You know what? This is a blessing in disguise. I don't want to see him fight in UFC anymore. I want to see him wrestle. I do. I'm sorry. I'm selfish. I'm not... Listen, don't get me wrong. I like UFC. I do. I like the big fights. I don't watch it every month. I don't invest. Matter of fact, my sister-in-law just texted me the other day. She's a huge Ronda Rousey mark.
Okay.
My sister-in-law Tina is a huge Ronda Rousey mark. So she says, oh, we're going to watch the fight. I'm like, yeah, I'm on vacation. I said, we'll go to fucking, what's that spot? Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah.
We'll do that gimmick. And everybody wants to come out with us. We'll watch the fight. We'll get some wings. We'll fucking chill.
That place. I went there before I left for Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That place sucks.
When I went, they had no problem with it. You might have gotten bad service.
That was it. I got bad service.
Well, maybe on fight night, the food will be a little better if you want to give it another shot.
Yeah, I'll go.
Tony said open the present.
It's full of despair.
It's full of despair.
Good job, Tony.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks, you know what? I like anybody who supports the show, man. We got a call. Let's see. Uh-oh.
Is that who we think we are?
I think. Oh, yeah. It definitely is. Ladies and gentlemen, reporting on scene from what part of Florida are you in? Roberto.
Citrus Springs.
Citrus Springs, Florida.
Yo.
What's going on, brah?
I'm on location at the NXT house show, and they're up to their main event, but it's Eric Young and Sanity versus some two 90s rappers. I don't know who they are. But they had some good matches here. They had TJ Perkins versus Roderick Strong. They had Jack Gallagher versus Noam Dar.
Nice.
That would be good.
Yeah, it's a couple of broads matches. And when your boys, the Authors of Pain.
Who'd they fight?
They gave a beat down to some jobbers who are bigger than them. Like,
probably local school guys or something. Local wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. How was your flight? How was your flight down, man?
I tried to get a high five to Riza.
Oh.
What's that?
I said, how was your flight down?
That was good.
Yeah,
was
you escaped all the cold.
Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to report in. I'll probably give you a call next week for the 200.
I appreciate it, man. Beautiful. Give your family lots of love. Give your brother a hug for me, and I'll see you guys when you get back. We got some work to do.
Sounds good, bro.
All right, brother. Be safe. I'll talk to you later.
Later, Rob.
Peace.
All right. Bye. That was the man Dingo, Rob Domingo from Thumbstick Ninjas. They just had their last show of the year on Wednesday. Go get that on the rant. They did the awards. You know, I always say every year I'm going to do awards. I think we're going to do awards next week.
Okay.
So I want to do like a best male wrestler, best female wrestler, you know, best tag team, best feud, best angle.
And now we're doing just WWE or all?
No, everything. Right, so I'll compile a little list. I'll pass it to you guys, and we'll talk about it. The only person who's going to be out of the loop is Mega Powers, because he doesn't have cable, and B, he doesn't fucking watch wrestling anymore, really. You know, so he's going to have to catch up with the group if he wants to play.
I was actually kind of surprised. He told me that he hadn't watched ROH in a while, and I thought he was a big ROH guy.
No, you know what? Dave, if I tell him to watch someone, when he was on the show, if I said to him, dude, watch Raw tonight, he would go back and watch it on YouTube, or he would download or whatever. He would get it from the streaming services, whatever he got. Or if I said, yo, dude, I got this Ring of Honor clip, you know, and I'd show him. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Dave is a good enough fan where he can catch up. So it's not too terrible.
I mean, I can't be too hypocritical because I haven't been watching Raw at all, man. I just, SmackDown and Raw, all I do is just maybe catch the clips on YouTube.
Well, since I've been working on Fridays these last 2 months, I don't watch Raw. The kid gives me the rundown.
The hammer knows what's
he knows. On. Yeah, of course he knows. So he's been giving me the rundown. I do watch them on like on Saturday morning. I'll fast forward because I watch my Good Times marathon. So before I watch, don't judge me. So before I watch my Good Times marathon, I'll fast forward through SmackDown, and I want to watch that Total Deletion thing with the Hardys. I heard the Rock and Roll Express were on it, and I marked out for that. So.
All I care about is the Hardy Boys going to ROH right now. That's all I care about.
Well, they already signed for WrestleMania weekend against the Bucks for the belts.
That's going to be great.
I know. By the way, the Bucks re-signed with ROH and New Japan.
Okay.
2-year deal.
That's great.
They have an awesome YouTube series called Being the Elite. It's them and Kenny Omega.
I still haven't seen it. Is it good?
It's 29 episodes. They're like between 5 and 8 minutes a piece. And it's just them traveling, complaining about the flights, and like do behind the scenes with their matches. They cut promos, but it's fun. You know, it's cool to watch. And if you're a Young Bucks fan, you should definitely see it. Even if you're not, it's a fun series. It's called Being the Elite. It's on YouTube. It's really fun. And I'm a Kenny Omega guy anyway, so.
I was reading an article on the Young Bucks a couple days ago.
The Rolling Stone article?
I believe it's that one.
Yeah.
And they're considering them like the greatest tag team, right? One of the greatest tag teams ever to not be signed by WWE.
See, this goes back to, I had a conversation with Mike Norenganger a while ago because he hates the Bucks. And I asked, see, the thing with Mike is, when Mike tells you he hates something, he will fucking tell you why. Because I can hold the conversation with Mike on the internet. Not these other fucking idiots, but I'll get into that in a minute. But I asked Mike, I'm like, dude, why? Why are you hating on the Bucks for? And Mike explained it to me. He's like, they're not realistic enough for me. They don't sell. They don't, like, and I like them, but I understand where he's coming from.
I think the biggest problem is the whole, I mean, at first it was cool, the whole super kick party thing. I mean, it's a good gimmick.
Right.
It's just, I think too many of those, like, you got to keep in mind, Shawn Michaels made, I know he didn't invent it, but I know Chris Adams came up with the move first, but Shawn Michaels was using that move, and it was like the finishing move to finish all matches.
Right.
These guys are nailing like 30 super kicks in one match, and then, to me, it's just a little much, in my opinion, but they're over. They're over as a tag team. I don't know about the whole selling part. I think they sell pretty well.
You know, and he explained himself, and I kind of get where he's coming from, because he's not the only person to say that. I think they've gotten to the point where they're mature enough to tell a story.
Yes.
Hopefully, you know, I don't know. I don't want to change anybody's mind or opinion, but, you know, I just respect Mike enough to know that if he tells me he doesn't like something, he'll tell me why.
I mean, they're not a bad tag team. They're really not. They're great to watch. I mean, they're very fun to watch. I mean, if you feel that an act is fun to watch, then they're good. They're not bad.
No.
It's, you know,
they're not my favorite, I can tell you that.
They're not my favorite either, but they're a good tag team. I know you're a big Briscoes fan. So
I am. Because the Briscoes are a throwback hybrid team. They can chain wrestle. They can go brawling. They can do fucking... They can high fly it. They're a hybrid team. And you know what? Both guys are good enough to go individual. Like, Jay was world champion. Mark was number one contender for the TV title for a minute. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's when you know teams are good. You could split them up and, you know, they can go nuts. You can't split the Bucks up. You can't.
Yeah, they're a single act.
Like, I mean, you can't say, like, oh, Nick Jackson's better than Mark Jackson. He deserves a title run. Never happened.
No.
They're a package deal.
It's almost like the Dudley Boys. The Dudley Boys, you couldn't split those guys up because, I mean, even...
They did, but...
They did. It just didn't work.
When Bully Ray was the friggin' Aces and Eights gimmick.
Yeah, it didn't work.
That was just terrible.
Stupid.
That gimmick was good for, like, 6 weeks, and that was it. So, but speaking of idiots on the internet. So, I hate when I have downtime at work. Because then I open Facebook. I open fucking the dirt sheets. Mm-hmm. I'm a fucking terrible person watching stuff at work. And my boss can't say nothing to me because I get my shit done. Like, the other day, he's like, oh, look at this. You have time to do this? I'm like, no, dick, I'm working, actually. So I see the Kofi Kingston, the picture with the New Day, Sasha Banks,
Rich Swann,
right?
Yep.
And they're all holding championships, and Kofi hashtags the Black Excellence, right? So I know why he posted it. I know why. The reason why. I thought the hashtag was suggestive enough that he was going to get heat for it. And instantaneously got destroyed on the internet. So when I posted the rebuttal, because Kofi now has to explain himself. And I wrote, see, you know what I wrote. I'm like, why does Kofi have to explain himself? It wasn't me being anti-fucking black, or I'm not a... Like, people just jumped on me, like, oh, what are you guys holding him down? Like, no, I don't. And it was like this one dude, a friend, I guess Pastor Sedell knows him, and they're me up. And I was like, dude, man, I said, I'm not. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, why would you put that? Why would you? If that was me, I would just post a picture. You know why I'm posting it. Like, you know me. Like, you personally know me. Yeah. If I post that picture, Choppy's like, oh, I know what Phil's doing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to hashtag anything. It's a shame that in 2016, that stuff still happens. Oppression still happens. Prejudice, racism, bigotry still happens in this world, in this country. It's fucking awful. And I'm not that guy. I'm never that guy. And I had this conversation with Pastor Sedell, too, when we were talking. And something I said, I'm not going to tell you the whole conversation behind the scenes, but he explained where that guy was coming from, and I didn't get mad at the guy. But, like, even Rob jumped in, and I was like, dude, I was like, it's not why he did it, it's what he did. And I knew people were going to attack him, and it was stupid. Like you're almost, it's almost like you want the attention. That picture was enough attention for that. That tells me, why couldn't it be a coincidence that all these people, all these African American wrestlers are champions? What do you think that Vince sits there like with a Rolodex and goes, "All right, where's my colored wrestlers? Where's my black guys? Where's my black girls?" Like, this ain't 1986. Did that happen? I'm sure it did. I'm sure there was. Listen, Thunderbolt Patterson got fucking dogged.
SD Jones
got dogged. Junkyard Dog, no pun intended. He got dogged after he left Mid-South. It's Tony Atlas, Rocky Johnson, all these guys were discriminated against at one point. All of them were champions too, FYI. Even SD Jones, he was a regional champion in a million places in the NWA in the territory days. Now, I'm not that guy. And I don't want to be painted as a fucking racist because I was sticking up for Kofi Kingston. You know what I'm saying?
You're far from it. Don't let some person make you feel a certain way just because you state an opinion. But you also have to realize in 2016, we live in this PC world where you have to be careful with whatever you say.
It is terrible.
It sucks.
It's terrible. And in 2016, like I said, when this stuff still goes on, it breaks my heart. Because I don't see color. I see talent. And I bust Will Morgan's balls every... I used to call a show every couple of weeks because they would get on this woe is me, why isn't the black guy getting pushed fucking rant. And I'd go on and educate these guys. You know? Oh, Surfer's on. What's up, Surfer?
What's up, Surfer?
You know? And I'm not... I don't want to be that guy. Because I'm not that guy. You know me. My friends know me. You know... I'm not the race guy who was like, I have plenty of black friends. It's not about that. It's about me not wanting to bring attention to myself. That picture spoke 1,000 words. They could have just posed and fucking posted it and said like "nuff said" or "excellence" or "dominance" or something like that. When you say "black excellence," I know what they meant. The rest of the world didn't know, and I think it's disrespectful that you can't do that in this day and age.
I saw the picture. First off, I like the way the picture looked.
It is a nice picture.
It really is. I mean, it was black and white, and then all the belts in color.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a throwback, no pun intended.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I applaud Kofi for posting that picture, because I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. The whole... Surfer, you are that guy.
Well, listen, Surfer, if you think I'm that guy after 3 years of knowing me, then we weren't really friends to begin with, man. Anyway, go ahead. Finish your story.
The whole hashtag, I mean, I'm indifferent with the whole hashtag that he put. I mean, I knew he was going to get a lot of hate for it, but to me it didn't fucking matter. I mean, I just love the fact that in this day and age that people still have, you know, they get so butthurt over what people do online. It's just, they need to just shut the fuck up.
And then think of how bad it is to not get ahead in life because of your skin color, or not get a job because of your skin color, or not get the push because of your skin color. And that picture validates everything that these guys wanted. That's like a rub to all the guys that didn't get it, you know? And I felt like Kofi doing that without the hashtag would have spoke volumes, you know? But then he put the fucking hashtag, and it was like people were like, oh, are you fucking racist? And then people start posting, and I posted Italian excellence. Just as a joke, just to see, hey, listen, I can lighten the mood. I'm not trying to be a dick, but I just don't want that attention brought on to these guys because it's enough pressure on them as African-American, young African-American males and females to, you know, to get ahead and to reach that pinnacle. It's got to be amazing. It's got to feel great that you did something, you know?
Shit, they fucking broke Demolition's record, for Christ's sake.
Right, and they didn't break it because they were fucking black. They broke because they were over.
They sold merch.
Sasha Banks didn't win the belt because she's black. She won it because she's good.
Yes.
And Rich Swann, you and I have been watching Rich Swann in the Indies for fucking good. 3 years now. The really? Dude is money, and that's why he's a champion right now. So you take their talent and their merit, and it supersedes the ethnicity, the skin color, and the nonsense. But it also validates what they did for everybody, and it represents everybody else.
Yeah.
The guys and girls that couldn't win it, or couldn't be at the top, or didn't get the rub, or didn't get the push. And it happened all the time back in the day. I'm not naive to it. I'm not stupid. I just think that putting a hashtag there just brought on some nonsense. And then, of course, now Kofi feels the need to explain himself, which he didn't have to. And that was my point. I told Pastor that, too. I was like, dude, you know what I posted? And he goes, I know exactly what you posted. Like, you know me for how long now? We're friends for how long? Why would I even go out of my way to post that if I didn't feel so strong about it? You know, I'm just sick of the woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. But, like, woe is me. Come on, man. And I told, and I get into me, and I had this discussion with Morgan and Tony C and Big Tone and Hightower. And I'm like, just like, it's not what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. You know, I don't like when they flip that card. You know, it bothers me. And they know it. This is me being their friend and their fucking colleague. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could be a friend and a peer at the same time with this whole podcasting thing, because we all have the same likes and dislikes, and we all come from the same group, and we all hang together, and we do amazing things. And again, I don't see color. I see friendship. I see talent. I see camaraderie. I've never seen color. I'm not saying I was exposed to bad shit, because I was. I grew up in a very crazy area of New York where, you know, everything was isolated. And you had your good block, bad block, good block, bad block. And if you weren't from there, no matter who you were, you're going to get it. Whether you were black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, doesn't matter. I had friends. I had the United Nations as my friends. I didn't have any white friends till like almost high school. And that wasn't because of who I was. It was because of where I lived and who I hung out with. Like, I lived in a white and black neighborhood, but I hung out and I played ball in a black neighborhood. I played basketball in a black neighborhood because I hung out with my friends. They were all my friends. But it's really easy for me and someone called me white privileged. And I know the meaning of that now. And to an extent, all of us who aren't of other ethnicities are white privileged. And the word privilege can be taken so many ways in so many contexts that, you know, you almost lose yourself in the whole thing of the he said, she said, you're this, you're that. And you said it on the button, man. This PC world that we live in is fucking atrocious, you know? And you can't have an opinion no more without getting abused.
You know what it is, though? The whole white privilege bullshit pisses me off. Because first off, I know for a fact that you bust your fucking ass all week to provide.
I did my whole life, though. Like, this is this, right? I just, I mean, I,
since you were a teenager,
that's all I know. It's all I know.
Yeah. I busted my ass all my life since I started working when I was 13 years old as a fucking dishwasher.
Yeah, it's all you know.
So don't fucking call me or anybody else white privileged, because we fucking bust our asses to get what we get.
And what they mean by that, though, is that we don't get the same discriminations that they get. That's what white privilege means. And I thought the same thing you thought. Well, I'm not white privileged. I busted my ass. I fought for it. And I see what they mean. But just to end the conversation, all I know is that the picture said to me 1,000 words. The picture to me was everything. The picture to me was great, and it made me emotional. And I knew, as soon as he posted it, I knew he was going to get fucking abused. And I turned on Twitter, and all I saw was hate. All I saw was hate, and it bothered me.
But who was causing the hate?
We don't know, because there's social justice warrior. Yeah. That's another thing. The social justice warrior.
Keyboard warriors.
They're behind the keyboard. They're attacking me. I'm like, you don't know who I am. Like, and I can validate what I say. If you don't like what I say, don't fucking respond.
Exactly.
Don't talk to me. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, first of all, if you have to question my integrity when it comes to stuff like this, and you think you know me, then you didn't know me at all.
Look, first off, like I said before, I love the picture. I had no problem with it. It's a beautiful thing, especially in this day and age, to see almost all black champions, and it's beautiful. I love it. I wish we had more. We need to have at least. Sometime soon, we need to have a black champion, a black world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's up to the wrestler, you know? If you have the talent, they'll put the strap on you. They will.
Yeah. It's not Dave. No, it's Choppy.
It's Choppy, my friend. What's up?
Surfer's doing the Star Wars thing tomorrow, by the way.
Are you really? That's awesome, dude.
So, I'm going to jump on with him. I think Lou Rodriguez is coming by to jump on. Of course, you're welcome to jump on if you're around. It's 8 o'clock. So, we'll talk some Rogue One.
Oh, my God. I want to see that so badly.
Dude, do not spoil it. No, I'm not spoiling. I'm telling you that you'll like it. I didn't talk to Surfer yet. I didn't see how he liked it, but I loved it.
Last year, what's his name? Spoiled the episode.
Episode 7?
Yeah, what's his name? Marvin?
Marvin, yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so pissed when I saw he had taken a picture of the scene where fucking Han Solo gets killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, you motherfucker, why would you post that online, you piece of shit?
Yeah, that's why I don't, I shut the internet off last night. So, dude, I went to the movies, and I said, take my money. They got it. It was a collector's popcorn tin. I'll show it to you. It's downstairs.
Oh, dude, I gotta see that.
And a collector's cup. So I got the popcorn in this tin that you can reuse.
Oh yeah.
It was $20 for the set. I'm like, just take my money.
That's awesome, bro.
Take my money. I woke the kid up last night because he was in my bed. He's like, did you see the movie? I'm like, yeah, we're going to go Sunday. He's like, oh, how was it? And then he called me this morning.
Yeah.
He was like, was it that good? I'm like, dude, it was almost as good as Empire. And he just, and like, you can, he didn't say anything on the other end. I'm like, you okay? He's like, yeah, we're going to warn everybody before we tell it all. I mean,
yes.
Listen, you can't hold the secret forever. If you don't want to, if you don't want to listen to it and you haven't seen the movie yet, so you can go watch the movie, then download the podcast, and you'll understand what we were talking about. It's fantastic. Let's see. Oh, speaking of Friends of the Network, I forgot. Sam Roberts is taking over Jerry Lawler's spot on those pre- and post-shows.
Really?
Sam Roberts, friend of the Shining Wizards Network. So, he didn't get the food. He bought the thing. I had the popcorn. It was, first of all, it was a 10:45 movie. I got stuck in traffic on that bus ride home.
Yeah,
I didn't get to my buddy who picked me up on Richmond Avenue until 10:25.
Holy shit.
So we flew to the fucking theater, and we got there just in time.
Did you get good seats?
Yeah. We sat right in the middle.
Oh, nice.
Right behind the handicaps. So anyway, Sam Roberts took over the Jerry Lawler spot, so congrats to him. Speaking of the pre-show, Booker T running for mayor in Houston.
Yeah, man.
Good for him,
good,
man.
Why not?
You know what? The dude, he is his neighborhood. He's all hood. And that's where he grew up. That's where he cut his teeth. And that's where he lives. And that's where he's now he raises his family. He's got ties to the entire neighborhood. If you can do it, God bless you, man. I'd vote for him if I was in his town because fucking Booker T.
The man came from nothing. Came from nothing. And
Ustream, you see my fucking hand?
That's right.
Spin-a-rooney right there, Ustream.
The man came from nothing and became a 6-time world heavyweight champion. And now is like one of the voices of the pre-shows. And I've always been, I was always a fan of Booker T, especially when he was with Harlem Heat. Oh my God. One of my favorite teams.
Yeah, his name comes up in conversation all the time. All the time. So.
Oh, just Rob just texted me.
Rob texted you? Yeah, he takes me the same picture. Oh, yeah,
buddy. Yeah, man.
They gave Mr. Bowens a concussion. They were sloppy. It shit happens, you know. I still love them. They're goons, man.
I love them. That's the future LOD right there, hopefully.
No, well.
Well,
they cut promos and, you know, they sell. The Road Warriors didn't sell anything. So, to an extent, I mean.
I'll tell you right now, they kicked the shit out of their opponents.
It's a different time, too, man. It's a different time. So, I think that's it with all the news. You have anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's it, man.
Yeah? I'm going to check this news site real quick.
Yeah, just double check.
See if Zach Ryder got hurt. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that.
Page update. Nobody cares.
Oh, with the whole Del Rio thing. Did you hear about that?
He got into a fight again?
He got into a fight with a fucking guy dressed up as a Ninja Turtle who put the moves on Page.
That's insane.
It's hilarious.
What a fucking douche.
What an idiot.
What a douche.
40 years old and still acting like a fucking idiot.
Are you excited for Roadblock this...
You mean... I can't.
Roadblock is this Sunday, of course. Coverage for Roadblock is 7 o'clock. I think it's... Who's hosting it? I think it's Surfer and Morgan are going to be hosting it.
Nice.
Yeah, so check that out. Let me see. Let me see the matches real quick. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I really don't want to be negative because I try not to be negative. But I really don't give a flying fuck about this pay-per-view. I really don't. It's too many.
Well, I was gonna pre... Wait, hold on a second. What the hell is this now? What is this? Oh, Overload. All right, whatever. Let me see. I'm trying to... There it is. All right, so... Reigns is fighting Kevin Owens for the title. Jericho and Rollins, Iron Woman match, Iron Man match. Doing a 30-minute one with Sasha and
Sean. The same thing in NXT, so.
And versus Sami. Yeah.
Sorry, I
love, whatever, your opinion.
I love Braun Strowman.
Yeah. So you can give all your predictions and preview the show on Sunday with the rant, starting at 7 p.m.
The only opinion I have about the main event is I think the both titles should have been on the line.
You don't take a step back, though, if you're the world champ, you, when you win the U.S. title? Wouldn't it be more of an incentive for the U.S. title, the U.S. champion, to have the both belts? I mean, at that point, I mean, obviously, if he wins, he can't take, or he can't hold both of them, so they would probably put the fucking title back in a tournament.
Well, I mean, Rollins held the belt for a while. Well, he had the U.S. title and the world title at the same time, and then he just lost it to Cena, I think, like a month later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think both belts should have been on the line. I know Reigns is not going to be the Universal Champion, obviously. I still think Kevin Owens is going to hold on to that belt until WrestleMania, and he's going to drop it to Finn Balor.
I see Jericho at one point getting a title shot, too. They're going to fall apart.
Maybe at Royal Rumble, probably.
Yeah, I see that. I see that happening. But other than that, I agree. I mean, I'll watch it because I watch it, but I really have no interest in it. I'm more excited for the Rumble. So,
I saw a poll online. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. Fans were asked, "Do you prefer seeing Seth Rollins as a babyface or a heel? What do you think?"
He's the kind of guy that can go either way. Like, he's one of those guys that can do both. But if he's gonna go face, he's got to invest in the crowd. He can't come out and go, "Well, I hate this guy," and then placate to the crowd and then shit on him. Can't do that. I think that kind of heel, the tweeners, he can't be a tweener. Like, CM Punk was a tweener, you know? A lot of guys can do it. He can't do it. John Cena, when he was a heel, he was a tweener.
He was good.
Right. So, I think certain guys can do it. If Rollins could be a face, but he has to invest into the crowd.
I like Rollins more as a face because I seen what he could do as a baby face.
Right.
And to me, it's much better than a heel because I think he could be like that type of babyface that has to like get the crowd behind him. And yeah. I think he can do that. I mean, I remember when the Shield had turned babyface, and they were fighting against Evolution a couple of years ago. Rollins was getting bigger pops than fucking Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose because of his work ethic in the ring. He's so good in the ring. But a lot of people were saying that they want him back as a heel. And I was like, dude, he's only been a babyface for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
Let it marinate. Exactly. Let it marinate.
You're right.
Like, come on.
You're right, bro.
Give it time.
I agree. All right. I think we're done with the news and nonsense. And I guess we'll open Kathy's present when we get back. Take a break. Plug our friends. And I'm going to wet the whistle. And we'll be right back, man. Let me play some plugs. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on the rant. And Lord Alfred Hayes is going to take us into the plugs, right, Lord Alfred?
Do it.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace!
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android. or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything, but the kitchen sink, I'm saying.
Did you see that? Look in his eye.
Daddy is more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. Yes, Works.
That was so disrespectful. I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle, Throwback Radio, Rant, EM Radio. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Little Joe Walsh for you.
Hello, Pastor. What's going on, my friend?
Pastor Sadell. My main man. Anyway, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the Rant. Rant EM Radio. Philly Ray, a Big Choppy hanging out with you. Joe Walsh from the Eagles.
Yep.
Joe Walsh. A lot of people shit on the Eagles, man. I don't know. I like the Eagles.
They're not a bad. It's just...
You hear him too much on the radio, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, just Hotel California is probably the only, like, the only single I can think of that comes off that comes to mind to me for me.
Life in the Fast Lane, Take It to the Limit. There's some good songs, man. They had an acoustic album that came out a couple of years ago. It's called Hell Freezes Over Tour.
Okay.
And they did a whole acoustic act, like Unplugged. Rest in peace, Glenn Frey, man. Anyway, yeah. You know, Scott, if you're listening, man, you're probably not, but if you are, thank you again for that Jimmy Valiant plug, man. That I love that clip.
Yeah, I like it too.
I love it to death. And Scott got that for us because Jimmy Valiant has a school where Scott lives.
In Virginia, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Not too far from where Scott is. He went to a show and got it. Fucking awesome. So, thank you, Scott. All right, so we're back. I guess we'll open that present.
Do it, bro.
Where's that box? Can you grab that box for me?
Yeah, hold on.
All right. So, Kathy Humber sent us a present. And she sends, like, this big, giant box. And, well, I want to see her address because I want to send her a nice, cost her $25 to ship. And
That's a lot of money.
It's as light as my sock drawer, you know? Choppy's gonna open his box. Kathy Hummer's box.
Whoa there.
Cause I'm Beulah, and my box is always open for you.
Hey,
remember
now.
That? You remember that?
There we go.
All right, let's
see. What
we
got
in here? Oh no! Uh-oh. Oh no! I see a sign. All right, let's do this. Let's do this proper like.
Hey now, what's that?
It's a Chewbacca T-shirt. A large. I think it's for the kid.
Let's see.
Let me see here. Oh.
The original wingman.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thank. All right. Let's see.
Very nice shirt.
All right. Let's see.
What we got here?
Let me see here. This is a large. This is another Chewbacca shirt. Party animal.
Very nice.
All right.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
What we got here? What we got?
Uh-oh. I don't want to fuck up the... Kathy takes a lot of time, and she...
She went all in with this sign, dude.
She makes the signs all the time. Oh, I just broke the road band.
No, look at this. It says, Termoga Throwbacks, how you doing?
How you doing?
To Phil and Choppy.
Oh, you should put your name on it.
The rest of the throwbackers, love your podcast, enjoy your sign, love Kathy Hummer. Thank you.
Look what she puts on the back, this motherfucker.
Let me see. Baza is awesome, yes!
All right, put the box down for a second.
Yep.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm going to give the kid the T-shirts. If you could, take a picture of both sides of that with your phone.
Yeah.
And post it to the page if you get a chance.
Yeah.
And tag Baza with it.
Absolutely.
That fucking guy. Oh, Kathy, thank you very much. That was very nice of you. Appreciate that. I'm going to hang the sign up above the gimmick over here.
You have to do me a favor.
Yeah, hold
it. Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. All right, so do that. Because all right.
Hold on. Got it.
Got it. Next one.
Slide.
Yeah, just tag Kathy and Baza with it. She put Gino Steaks, too.
Got it. Gino Steaks. Right, put that over here.
Anyway.
And we do have a Gino's.
Gino's. Now, these guys, we have a cheesesteak place. I was telling, who was I telling? I think I was telling Surfer this. There's a cheesesteak place that just opened up around the corner from my house. And they're from, I think they're either from South Jersey or Philly. And they opened, and it's not terrible.
You tried it already?
We had it twice.
It's that good.
It's pretty good. It's not fucking Philadelphia cheesesteaks, but listen, the same way we can't get a cheesesteak anywhere but Philly, they can't get good pizza.
Hey, that I agree.
I'm sorry. No disrespect to our brothers in the city of brotherly love, but New York has the best pizza. Chicago could suck a dick, too. How about that? I'm all about it.
I'm in the moment of posting these pictures right now.
Yeah, you do that. I gotta pull up this Google gimmick for a second. I think we're gonna be taking calls tonight. I think because we're gonna be ending. We only have like 5 matches, right?
Yeah.
So I just need to. I didn't write the date down in my notes. I fucking forgot it. So Let's do that real quick. Anyway, while we're just fucking around here, because we can.
Sorry for the dead silence.
No, not dead silence. We're not doing dead silence.
Okay, good, because I don't
want to... No. I'm a professional, Choppy. You know that.
You're Come the man.
No. Don't go that far.
You're the man.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm okay. I'm serviceable.
Woo!
The only thing we have close to a Philly is it's cooked in a microwave. Yeah, but Pastor, you live where the barbecue is, man.
Where's Pastor from?
He's in Missouri, dude.
Ooh.
Yo.
Whoa, you got to invite us over, my friend.
Yo, wifey went out there for a business trip, like, last year, but she had to go to, like, the seminars and stuff. She had to go for training.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, if you had, like, two more days, I would have told you to hook up with Pastor and just hit at least a spot. How would you, I want some real good barbecue, man. Like you know, like I've been down south. I've had down south barbecue. You know what I'm saying? But
I can honestly say that the best barbecue I probably had was in South Carolina.
Carolina barbecue is my favorite.
Yes,
the vinegar based barbecue sauce. Right? Okay. All right. Good. Me and you have a lot in common then, because I love that barbecue. I love that. That shit is delicious, dude. That shit is delicious. All right. So Kathy, thank you very much for the. You spent way too much money to have that ship, though. I feel terrible, but you're going to get a thank you, and we'll send you a nice card or something. You know, maybe I'll make a sign. Maybe I'll just take a picture of my nipple, and I'll put it.
Nah. Nah. Areola? No?
Yeah. Oh, he's barbecuing on Christmas this year.
Oh, you better invite me, goddammit.
All right. Are you ready for this throwback, partner?
I'm ready for you, my friend.
All right, let's do it up.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I really, really love that opening.
Thank you.
I love it.
All right. So this is a very fun time. And the reason why I picked this is for obvious reasons, because we're doing True Grit next week to end the year. And there was so much going on in the National Wrestling Alliance that this was the very... First of all, this was the transition to Turner. Turner had bought Jim Crockett Promotions and was slowly turning it into WCW, right?
Yep.
And this is when titles were still hot. This was the Sting was getting hot. Luger was the face of the company at this point. Flair was the champion. There was so many things going on that and they still had all the UWF guys, Eddie Gilbert and Rick Steiner, and you know, stuff like that. So how it worked was, they started Clash of the Champions a couple of years prior. So this was the fourth one, season's beatings. And I got to tell you, man, this was just... When I told Choppy I wanted him to come over and do this again with me, I told him to watch it on the network. However, I found it on YouTube. I found the original... You did too, right?
I did.
So it was cool with the original music and stuff like that.
It was so much better.
So, of course, Clash of the Champions was used to promote and go up against... Who's this? Is that Augie? No, that's Bruce Wayne. What's up, Brucey? Dick locked himself in the basement. I come home from work and I hear... Like the dog. Like he's crying at the door. I'm like, you're an idiot. I open the door. He's like... I'm like, you're an idiot. Hold on, let me close my door here. All right. He's got to be nosy. He wants to go in the box, probably.
Of course.
So, anyway, so this was, of course, this was to compete with WWF and, you know, the free TV and stuff like that, which was pretty cool, right?
The one I remember the most is probably the one with Sting and Flair, which was where they went about almost an hour, I believe it was, to make Sting, like, the next top guy. But this was definitely in competition with I guess, what you call it, WrestleMania?
Yeah, but this was also the night, this was also setting up...
For Starrcade.
Well, Starrcade, yeah. One, and two, the Road Warriors went heel. And if you remember a couple of years ago, I did the hose spike in Dusty's eye. This was the culminate. This was the feud.
Yeah, they got cheered though for that. They got cheered for that.
Yeah. So, about 8,000 people in attendance. It was the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
Go Volunteers. They say 8,000 people. It drew a 4.5 on the ratings.
Which is very, it was really high. It was.
For that time, it was definitely high. Like I said before, there's only five matches. And I've been playing with the computer. I learned some new gimmicks today and yesterday. And I made promos. I cut all the promos from the YouTube feed. So that's pretty cool. I even took my promo notes here, too. All right, so we'll open up the first match. The first match was the finals of the U.S. Tag Team Tournament. Now, here's a little something you probably didn't know. Ron Simmons and Eddie Gilbert initially lost in the semifinals to the Sheepherders.
Yep.
But the Sheepherders signed with the E as the Bushwhackers, and they reversed the decision.
Here's my thing. I thought Jim Crockett had him locked to a contract.
No, none of those guys had contracts except for, like, Flair.
What?
Dude, you have to understand something. Those guys were all territory guys. They would go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. There were only certain guys, like the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair. They got contracts, but none of these other guys had contracts.
But the Sheepherders were, like, amazing.
They were amazing, but when Vince gives you the money, they got more money, dude. They weren't making that. Vince offered them, here, look, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to double your salary. You're going to work a little more, and all you got to do is lick people's faces and yell and scream in the ring and be an act retarded.
I'm pretty sure they were done with getting bloodied up all the time, too.
They were old at that point.
They had to be at least
46. They were pushing 40, yeah. So, it was a lighter work load with a longer work schedule.
Even their freaking finisher in the WWF was so ridiculous. It was like a headlock,
battering ram. They had a battering ram.
Yeah, it was so stupid.
So that happened. So they reversed the decision, and now they get the finals against the Fantastics.
Yes.
So all heels. All faces.
I did notice that the crowd, you know how the NWA crowd is. They cheer who they want to cheer for, and they boo for who they want to boo for. Because I noticed that in the match, Ron was making some offense, and I noticed half the crowd was booing him.
Well, here's something else you probably didn't know. They actually, in the first round, they beat Al Perez and Larry Zbyszko.
Yes, yes.
Did you know that? Okay. So they're in the finals. All right, so this match was pretty good, dude. I like the Fantastics. They're like the knockoff of the Midnights and the Rock and Rollers. And I'll tell you what, to their credit, those guys fought everybody. They fought the Road Warriors. They fought the Midnight Express. They fought the Varsity Club. They fought the Sheepherders. They had a Sheepherder feud with them in like three different promotions. They went to Texas. They went to UWF, and then they came over here to Jim Crockett. So now it's like we don't know this as kids because we don't, you know. Again, we're not hip to it. We only know what the magazines tell us,
exactly.
And it's all kayfabe. So it's not, you know, but I give them a lot of credit, man. They're one of my favorite tag teams because they can go with everybody.
I actually like Tommy Rogers a lot more than Bobby Fulton.
The fan. Oh, let me do the gimmick. Hold on. Tommy Rogers. Roger. Bobby Fulton. The Fantastics. So, you remember that? They used to announce him like that? You remember that?
That was great.
From the City of Angels. Oh, I'll do it again. Let me do it again.
Do it.
From the City of Angels. Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics. So, anyway, yeah, the mixer does that.
That's
I have
great.
A bunch of sounds on it, but I never use them. But the Fantastics are one I keep on there because it's funny. But they made them more. They tried to sell them a lot more than what they were. But mm-hmm. I could see why you like that one guy better than the other guy. But so, good match though.
It was a good match. It was back and forth.
Yeah, and you know, Eddie Gilbert was great. I mean, Ron Simmons was good. Eddie Gilbert was a great performer, man.
I I think that with Eddie Gilbert, I thought he had a great, great mind for wrestling. He really did.
Well, he had the book with Todd Gordon. Yes. You know the story with ECW. ECW. Yeah. I'll go right to the end of this.
Do it.
Fulton sends Eddie to the floor. Now they're back in the ring. Fulton charges Eddie and wham, hot stuff with the hot stuff, with the hot shot. But Eddie Gilbert doesn't cover. He's confused. A quadruple Irish whip reversal back into the same corner. Eddie misses with a shoulder block, and then in with his arm, with his bad arm, he runs into Bobby Fulton, and then rolls him up for the three count. You know, I mean, paint me pretty and call me Lanny Poffo, but there was no hot tag there, you know?
Yep.
And Gilbert jobbed his ass out for like the 15 minutes straight, and then he just loses. So the crowd was very pro Eddie Gilbert, but they didn't like the decision, you know? I expected them to win when I first saw it. Only because of they were the bigger team. They were more. I mean, obviously, more physical they were. You know, but again, a credit to the Fantastics, man. They just, you know, they probably gave validity to the U.S. title, the tag titles, before the Varsity Club and the Steiners did.
They were bumping machines.
Yeah,
they made everything look great. Oh, hey, Brucey. They made everything just look fantastic. No pun intended.
Yeah,
and but you know, I agree with you. I felt like Eddie Gilbert and Ron Simmons were going to win this match because they were the much bigger team. But you know, they weren't a legitimate tag team. They were just like put together because of a tournament. But you know, I was satisfied with the ending. It was a good ending.
Yeah. Again, this was like the U.S. title. See, the difference between the U.S. Tag Team Championship and the Singles U.S. Championship, you weren't always the number one contender for the World Tag Team Championship when you were U.S. I mean, you got title shots,
yeah,
but you were never, like, considered the number one contenders. They always considered the U.S. Tag Teams the second tier of all the tag teams.
So. I do have one complaint. I think the match went a little too long.
Well, you have to understand, though, it's five matches. They had, yeah. I mean, like seven commercial breaks.
I felt like the match would flare. Well, not to go ahead, but I felt like the main event should have gotten more time. I feel because that, to me, was the better match of the night.
It was the best match of the night.
Yeah.
Brucey, what do you want, dude? Go away.
He wants attention, dude.
Fuck him. He's pissed because his baby brother's not here. Ham is by his dad. So, he, you know. So his brother's not here, so he can't stay. He follows Michael like a fucking, forget about it. It's crazy. All right, so before we get into the next match, was Dr. Death Steve Williams versus the Italian Stallion, who wasn't even Italian. There was a promo cut with the, let me see here, with the Varsity Club. So let's take you now to Captain Mike Rotundo and the Games Master, Kevin Sullivan. Really?
Champion Mike Rotunda, and of course at Starrcade on the day after Christmas on December 26th, I gotta think it is going to be a phenomenal event for the television championship. These fans here are cheering for Rick Steiner, and everybody says, well, Steiner's not too smart, but he's not going to be the one that's 40 feet up in the air. He's not so stupid.
I'll tell you what about being stupid. Stupid Steiner is so stupid.
How stupid is he, Michael?
He's stupid enough to think that he's going to take the title from me, Kevin. Is he a moron or what?
Rick Steiner is so dumb, Michael.
How dumb is he, Kevin?
He's so dumb that he thinks incarcerating me 40 feet in the air
incarcerated.
Is going to keep me from doing anything.
Was it Houdini, your cousin?
You know he was, Michael, and the other thing is this. Rick Steiner, I've been incarcerated many times.
Incarcerated? What are you, retarded?
Michael, tell him.
Gotta love that Boston accent.
The bubble brain.
Steiner, first of all, you're a Michigan graduate. That doesn't leave you with much right there. Second of all, you got to face a Syracuse University graduate, my friend. In Starrcade, you think you can get the job done? Well, I'm leaving with this, Steiner, at all costs, my friend.
All right, gentlemen, whatever will happen the day after Christmas. What a battle for the television championship. We'll see the newest member of the Varsity Club in action in just a moment.
So he just went heel, Dr. Death.
Yeah.
And he fights the Italian. Steve Williams was new. Again, those UWF guys.
The whole transition.
Yeah, it was him, Eddie Gilbert, Sting, the Sheepherders. I forget who else. There was a couple other guys. Rick Steiner, Missy Hyatt. They were all from UWF.
Did Terry Gordy. Did he? Was he trans? Because he was the UWF champion, wasn't he?
This was afterwards.
That was way afterwards.
And then him and Doc came in.
Yeah.
They won the both titles in a week, and then it went back to Japan.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So, all right. Pretty simple match for the Doc. I mean, Italian Stallion was like the Barry Horowitz of WCW and NWA.
He sucked.
You know, but he was serviceable. He was like the Brooklyn Brawler, same type of gimmick. You know, he was that kind of guy. I mean, nothing really. I mean, a couple interferences, but you know, at one point, Dr. Death locks the front chin lock. Doc could still wrestle. Turns into a sleeper. Stallion breaks the hold, but Steve slams him for his troubles. And Dr. Death climbing the ropes, which is rare. And of course, he misses with the big splash. Italian Stallion is now he's hulking up.
Yeah.
And
whoa there.
Exactly. Throws a couple of silly right hands, a drop kick, and then a power slam. And then Williams goes for a clothesline, and then the Stallion ducks, comes back with a body block. Now, again, big guy. He can throw his weight around, but Doc is just too massive for him. Doc comes across with a cross body and delivers a running power slam. Of course, he calls the Oklahoma Stampede for the win. This match wasn't as awful as you expected it to be, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know. So
can I just mention how much I'm so impressed by how strong this motherfucker is, Dr. Death.
Doc,
holy mother of Christ!
I never understood why he never got the rub anywhere else but NWA. Like, he was in WWF, they couldn't do nothing with him. ECW, by that point, he was already a legend in Japan. So there was no money here for him like that. He would come for his little tours. They fought the Eliminators. They fought, you know, the, what's his face, Brian Lee and all those guys. But it was not, the money of making in Japan was way better than that, you know?
I mean, when he was in Japan, he was already like almost like Stan Hansen, like level of Stan Hansen, if you think about it.
The tag team was the Miracle Violence Connection. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They used to beat the shit out of everybody, man.
I agree.
He was great. I love Dr. Death. Nothing bad to say about the man.
No.
The Italian Stallion, I think he's just...
He's the Barry Horowitz of NWA.
Listen,
you need enhancement talent to put the guys over to set people up. It wasn't like today. Those guys were necessary. And if you want to hear a jobber roundtable, nice segue there, Phil. Do my Barry Horowitz tap on myself.
Do it.
You can hear the jobber roundtable on Tuesday. So you can on the rant at 8 o'clock, so you can join us to do that. I can't wait. I'm going to be working, so I'll call in. But yeah, I got some stuff I want to say. I used to love the jobbers, man.
I know yours is Iron Mike Sharp. That's your
Mike Sharp.
That's your guy.
Mario Mancini, Dusty and Dale Wolf, Moondog Spot. Fucking forget it, man. It was Barry Orton.
Barry Orton. My guy was still Barry Horowitz, just because. That's the one jobber I do remember from the 90s, because he was really good.
Listen, if you're going to lick your ass, Cat, go do it down the block. I don't want you licking your ass over here. Go clean yourself somewhere else, this fucking guy. I'm just going to lay here and lick my ass. If I could lick my ass, I wouldn't leave the house. He comes back. He's like, pat me.
He likes you, dude.
He does. He loves. He's very, very affectionate. Well, you know that. You've known him since he's a little kitten.
Yep.
So, all right. So... There was a Jason Hervey, the Wonder Years, does an interview about his new hit show. Whatever. He was a mark. He was a money mark. He was a fan. He was a hardcore fan, wrestling fan. So
I understand that, but like, he was plastered almost everywhere on WCW television.
Oh yeah. He was a fucking kid. He was a child actor.
Fuck.
He was a child actor with money. What the fuck would you do if you were 17 with money? You'd probably drink and get hookers. I could see you doing bumps of coke off some chick in a Nickelodeon locker room.
The girl was like way older than he was. Did you see
her? Dude, because he had money.
Dude,
look at Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah.
They fucking ruined their lives because they had money. It was crazy. Okay. So Magnum TA had a segment called The Boss. And he interviewed the Junkyard Dog, who claims he came back to the NWA to help out a good friend. So let's talk to... Well, I have it. Do I have it? Yeah. I always got
By the way.
What's up?
How ironic. With both of them getting into car accidents and anything.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Ring the bell. All right, let's hear from the JYD, shall we? original music.
I'm Magnum T.A., and I got some good news to report to the NWA. Long time Paul Jones been strutting around here. Now he's run Nikita Koloff out of professional wrestling, but there's a man coming in, the Junkyard Dog, 6'4", 325 rump and stomping pounds, that's come here to take care of business.
You know, man, I was on my way to North Cackalacka, by the way of South Cackalacka, Virginia and all those places, and my telephone left the room, and they said, Dog, everybody needs a bone of Joe. And Colo said, Dog, I need some help. And I took my hat off and I told my wife, I'm on my way to the NAA. So I'm 6'4", 325 pounds. I'm nothing but twisted steel and no sex appeal. But I'm going to tell you something, baby. It's not recess time, so I'm not here to play. I'm here to match and stay.
You're going to get your chance. December 26th, Starrcade 1988. You and Ivan Koloff going up against a Russian assassin and a very special stipulation. Because when you put them down, the Russian assassin's got to unmask and Paul Jones will be forced into retirement.
Paul Jones ain't nothing but the devil. And I'm the only man that stepped in the devil door. Kicked the door down and I made his natural mama frown. So Paul Jones, if you want to mess around, and like I told you, time and time again, every dog needs a bone of Joe, and I found myself a bone.
But that's it. The JYD found himself a bone. He's going to take care of business. Take care of business the Junkyard Dog's way. Let's go back ringside right now with Jim Ross.
Double A checking in with us, Choppy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said Philadelphia is good for cheesesteaks and TVs. You didn't get the TV joke. So, I filled in for Morgan 2 weeks ago on the call-in show. Will got sick. I was at your house having dinner.
I remember.
And I was leaving to go home, and I was like, you know what? Will needs my help, so I'm going to go home anyway, so I might as well do it. Surfer begins to tell me how he bought a TV at the supermarket because the TV broke or whatever it was. He bought a TV at the supermarket. So, of course, I tell the guys, and they lose their mind. And he said, yes, this is one of the last events before Jim Herd left Pizza Hut to ruin WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Good call.
Yes.
Good call. Jim Herd was wrestling cancer.
Was a big bag of douche.
Yes. Oh, wow. Kathy Hummer sent packages to everybody, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Kathy Hummer is just crazy, man. God bless you, Kathy. Thank you very much. It's nice to be acknowledged, you know, especially in this day and age. So... Choppy posted pictures. I'm just trolling the internet right now because, you know. All right. And Rob posted more pictures on the rant from his NXT visit. So go check out those pictures. And Rob will be checking in with us next week with the Christmas party. I'm sad he can't be here, but he's with his parents are down there, so he gets to go do the Christmas thing.
Oh, so his parents are originally from Florida?
No, they retired to Florida.
They just moved down.
Yeah, they're from New York.
Good for them.
They're from Strong Island. All right. Okay. So, obviously, now this is the segue into the next match. Uncle Ivan.
Babyface.
He said, I can beat Paul Jones with one hand tied behind my back. So, he wrestled one hand tied behind his back.
He did.
Want to get into this? Or yeah, go ahead. You haven't done a match. Why don't you get into this?
Yeah. So, they pretty much have turned Ivan babyface in order to, you know, bring some intrigue into the Russians. But, unfortunately, you know, Nikita left the promotion for a little bit. And that's when JYD joined up with in place of Nikita. Koloff wrestled with one arm tied behind his back. It wasn't really a long match. It really wasn't, but it was good. What amazed me is that these guys were like past their prime and still wrestling.
Yeah, well, Paul Jones was not a regular wrestler for years at that point.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
So, you know, from what I saw, you know, he already had a handicap with one wrestling with one arm. So then Paul Jones is trying to get using a foreign object, the wonderful foreign object that goes on for like a minute. He starts using the foreign object for like a minute, and then Koloff steals it from his hand and nails him for the win at a minute and 22 seconds, I think it was, or whatever it was. And then that was pretty much it. It was just a little quick little match just for, you know, because you got to remember these guys are a little old and
yeah.
So it was fine. It was not bad. It was just nice to see that, you know, Ivan was still trying to create some magic for his Russian team, and that was pretty much it.
And it gives Junkyard Dog something to do.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What? Can you answer me? Why did JYD leave the WWF at this time?
Because he was bloated, had a terrible cocaine habit, and
I'm sure you guys talked about this before.
Was out of shape. No, I mean, it comes up every... Listen, when we did the Junkyard Dog book interview with Greg Klein, right? I read stuff in there. The book wasn't really about Junkyard Dog totally. It was about the scene of why he was the superhero, why he was the black heavyweight champion in Mid-South, and he was the Hulk Hogan of Mid-South.
That I agree with, yeah.
Like, he sold out the Superdome in Louisiana. Like, he sold out arenas. Like, if when the Freebirds blinded him and jumped him, they almost got killed in a parking lot. Like, Michael Hayes tells you all the stories all the time. JYD was the shit, hands down. Wasn't very good in the ring,
no,
but he did everything else good. And I love the Junkyard Dog. I have nothing but love for the Junkyard Dog. Always did. But he had a bad drug habit. He was bloated. He was out of shape. And he's still a name. So when they didn't use him anymore, that was it. I mean, you know, there comes a time where these guys didn't just, they never thought about the next step. They're doing this for 10, 20 years, and all they do is just, they go to the next town, and the next arena, and the next month, and the next year, and they're away from their families, and they're away from their lives, and all of a sudden, they get caught up in the road, and it's the drinking, and the drugs, and now they just going back in their rooms and play Xbox. So, I think life just caught up with him, and sadly, tragically, he lost his life, so... anytime I get a chance to talk about the Junkyard Dog, I do it because he did a lot for WWF and Mid South.
I always felt like you said, he wasn't the greatest worker, but he did everything else really good.
Yeah,
and I just always felt that he should have been at least Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah,
in WWF because he was really that popular.
Yeah,
and he never got the actual chance to do that, but he was still making big bucks with the WWF.
Well, if you decide to stay around, we'll do some more. Junkyard Dog stuff.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
All right. Two interviews. There's a Luger one and a Sting one, and they're pretty important because they're leading up to, Starrcade. And, you know, Luger, at this point, like I said, he's the top face in the company.
Your favorite wrestler.
Ugh. We all know what happened in Baltimore at the Bash. He had Flair in the rack, and the athletic commission. I thought he won the title when I first saw it. I was convinced he was champion. And I was like, holy shit, he beat Flair. I was like, whoa. And all of a sudden he stopped. I was like, what the fuck? I was flipping out. But it's so good. It tells a good story. Luger was in the Horseman. They threw him out. He got to run. Again, Lex Luger, $1 million body, $5 brain. But at this point, he wasn't as dumb as he was when he became narcissistic. So... he was the man at this point. So you like Lex Luger, right? You were Lex.
I mean, when he was in WWF, I was a fan of him.
Yeah,
because you know he was like that superhero. I mean, I was like what, 9 years old when he went to the WWF. That was like 93.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like I said, I didn't watch NWA in the 90s because I didn't know about it. So I was just all WWF. So when I saw Luger, I was just like, wow, this guy's a monster.
Right.
And I was, I became a fan. But then I noticed as 93 kept going on and on, I was like, wait a minute, this guy, he's not going to get the belt from Yokozuna, you know? So, and then eventually Bret Hart became my guy.
Again. Yeah, everybody, you guys are all in that era.
Bret was my guy.
Right.
So I kind of lost interest. I tell you right now, I did mark out when Luger became the WCW World Heavyweight Champion when he beat Hogan for the belt on Nitro. I was shocked when that happened. I thought he was not going to win that match, and he actually won it on the Nitro.
He won on my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
August 4th,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Get out of here.
When he beat Hogan on Nitro, you
talking
about? Yeah, it was on my birthday.
When the NWO was trying to, like, get up on that, and he did it. He won.
Yeah.
And only to drop it, like, a week later.
Listen, he did it, though.
Yeah, he did.
All right, so this is the filler time.
Yep.
They have to fill the commercials and shit. So there's three promos. We'll do Lex Luger first, and then there's a Sting one, which is cool, and a Steiner promo. So Rick Steiner with his friend.
Oh, I love Rick Steiner.
Right, let's hear from the total package. The total package with his big herringbone chain. Hello there.
There it is.
All right, Tony Schiavone in ringside with our special guest host, Lex Luger. And Lex, once again, as it was once before, the Fantastics become U.S. Tag Team Champions here in Chattanooga at the UTC Arena. What a tremendous win for them. And in the same breath, hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert. What a tremendous effort for this young man, even with that injured arm.
Well, Tony, you know, if that's any indication of intensity, the kind of match you see tonight, boy, better hold on to your seats. This is a showcase event. It's on national TV in front of millions of homes.
Good call,
Lex.
It
serves a dual purpose. Number one, you know you want to be at your best when you're in front of that many people. And number two, this is a major big-time tune-up for the big event coming up, and that is Starrcade True Grit just over 2 weeks from now, Tony.
And, of course, that's your big night against the World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair, who will be in a tag team match tonight. He and Barry Windham against the Midnight Express.
I do have to say I have a special vested interest in watching here tonight. I try to get a match. Try to get a match lined up with Nature Boy, but seem to have other plans. So what I'm talking about is I'm sitting here, I'm watching real close, and I'm scouting the Nature Boy out. But I would much prefer to have my tights on after watching a match like that to sit here at the booth.
Yeah, it was a tremendous match. It almost went the time limit. We do understand, though, that right now we do have to go back to the ring. Is that to understand? Back to the ring? So let's go back to the ring right now.
All right. And then we go back to the ring because Rossi, as Sting would call him, is in the ring with the Stinger.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. We're looking at the collision for the Tag Team Championship of the World at Starrcade. He is pumped up. He is ready. The Stinger. He's wild here. That's right. And wild. Guess what? Rossi. I'm not wrestling tonight, but I painted up my face, and I got physical in the ring without an opponent. Guess what time it is? Time to put an end to those other two dudes that paint their face, which, by the way, you can't paint it as good as I can. He's going to take on with Dusty Rhodes at Starrcade, the Road Warriors for the World Tag Team titles. And Tony Schiavone will talk to Rick Steiner right after we come back.
Sting. Sting.
Yeah, so Sting ran in the ring and just did one of those Ric Flair gimmicks. He elbow dropped like his suit, his jacket, his denim jacket or whatever it was.
I love
Surface Sting was the best.
Oh
man.
My god, he was so good on the mic, and he was so energetic and so hyper. I loved it. Luger, on the other hand, he sounded like he just got out of bed or something when he was doing his promo. I couldn't believe it. He's so boring. I don't get it.
Remember his? You remember Sting's NWA theme?
Yes,
I love that.
I'm
gonna do it right now. Don't give me a commercial, YouTube.
Please don't. Please don't. Oh, it is. Oh, no. Nope. It's good.
Yeah! I love this stuff.
Yes.
Yo, Surface Thing. Michael just got Surface Thing as an action figure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You schooled this kid very well on the old school, man, because he loves the old stuff.
Yeah, I showed him the match he had with Flair at Clash of the Champions. Which I have here, I think.
Yes.
1988.
What do you think about it?
Oh, he loved it.
Oh, dude, it's so good.
I'll let that rock in the back.
Yeah, let it.
Oh, no, I can't. I got to play Rick Steiner and his friend Alex. Yeah, Rick Steiner was one of the UWF guys, man. Let's go to the boss, Magnum TA.
Rick Steiner, you know, this is my first opportunity to really interview you since you made your break from the Varsity Club. And I've been watching your wrestling style real closely, you know. And your specialty, your forte, you may say, seems to be that belly-to-belly suplex.
Yeah, you know, I've been in training, you know, and I've been eating a lot of fortes and suplex. And I had muscle.
Gordon
Solis.
I've been
talking
eating
about
a lot
that
of Gordon Solis.
That belly-to-belly suplex, that's the same thing I used to use. You used to use that? Yeah, I used to use that. I use it. Well, you do it real good, and I'm saying.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and Alex taught me how to do it. He talked me real good. He talks to me all the.
Well, wait a minute. You know, let's talk about Alex.
You haven't met Alex.
But Alex is just kind of like an extension of your personality. I mean, Alex isn't. I mean, he ain't a person.
No, Alex is all about you.
He's his old man. He tells me what to do all the time. He's the only guy. He helps me out, you know?
Well, just how long have you and Alex been together?
Years and years.
Well, I hope Alex is getting you ready because you got a shot at the World Television title coming up at Starrcade, and I hope he's got you geared up because it's coming up and it's the biggest match of a lifetime.
Yeah. It's good setup. Now, before we get into Dusty and Raw Warrior Animal, because this is for... Now, before... Well, I mentioned this in that episode when they spiked Dusty.
Yes.
They were the six-man tag team champions.
Yeah.
Obviously, they jumped Dusty. They're not a team anymore, but they had a match for the control of the NWA six-man tag team championship, and it was supposed to be Raw Warrior Animal taking on Dusty Rhodes. So, now here's my question to you. I got a promo from Dusty with the eye patch. Should I play it now or should I play it next week for the Christmas show?
I think you should play it now.
You think you should?
Yeah, because I love Dusty.
All right. he's like, you should have killed me, he said. I'll play the intro next week, though.
Okay, that's
when
fine.
He calls him out in the ring?
Yeah.
All right. Because I have both of them. Here's Dusty's eye for an eye promo. This is fucking fantastic.
A lot of thinking here the past few days. There's something more involved here than winning and losing. Maybe even more than a career. Maybe more than a legendary athlete, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. I've been battered, I've been beat, I've been scraped, and I've been cut, brother. I've been cut like a knife in my heart.
Sub German suplex.
By many, many things, but always I got on my two haunches and rised up because I am the American Dream and conquered all and came back from over. This is just a little bit too heavy, Road Warriors. You should have made it a point to get both of them, Daddy. Don't just get one. Don't take one limb. Don't take one heart. Don't take one ear, and don't take one eye. Because I'm breathing. That's the scary part for you. I'm breathing. That's the main thing for you. I'm breathing. You got to live with me breathing, baby. When I get up in the morning now and look out of one eye at my children, I think of you. Now, the world's title at Starrcade, we gonna take that. But I'm going to take just a little bit and a whole lot from you, Road Warriors. And between now and then, if Sting has to carry me on his back down that aisle, if he has to drag me in a wagon, I'm breathing. You understand what I'm saying? You should have got it done. It's violence for the sake of violence. And now I will turn it around to my violence, my lightning bolt, my fire, my thunder. An eye for an eye.
I love that promo.
I was playing the 100th episode on my home tonight, and we had a Christmas party for that. And Tony and I, and Mega Powers, we were talking about. They talked about Dusty Rhodes, and they were talking about the clip where Tully was TV champion with Baby Doll. And I played the clip before, but he goes, hey, big man. He goes, I know you want this. He was supposed to be on the TV title. Yeah. And Rhodes goes to get in his face, and Baby Doll cuts him off and goes, listen, Rhodes, where I'm from, you keep your hands off my Tully. And where I'm from in Texas, you tip your hat to a lady. And he said, tip my hat? Let me tell you something, Baby Doll. I'd rather tip my hat to a Jezebel. If you put your hands on this $150 lid, I'll smack them nips to the side of your face.
Oh my god!
I'd rather tip a Jezebel in the street. But that's the dream, man. That's what it was. And
can I ask you something? I've never asked you this before. How long did it take for you to perfect the Dusty impression? Because that is just spot on, dude.
I don't know. All I know is that all my friends, we had a little wrestling federation. We were kids. We used to wrestle in on the steps and backyards and fucking cemeteries and schoolyards. We weren't as elaborate as these kids in the 90s were, though, but we had cardboard belts, and everybody wanted to be world champion. Everybody.
Of course.
And I was like, but nobody wanted to be Dusty Rhodes. And nobody wanted to be the TV champ or the U.S. champ. And nobody wanted to wear the headband and wear the big elbow pad. And I was like, I had knee pads for hockey. And I put them on my elbows, like Dusty Rhodes elbow pads. I drew a lot of fucking bionic elbows. And that was my thing. And then me and my buddy Eric Terzo, and Eric listens to the show, so he knows what I'm talking about. I used to do Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone with the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and he would go, "You see something, baby?" And he did a really good Dusty Rhodes. But then we started hanging out more. We got older. We started drinking. And I remember one night, our other buddy Eric went to Mexico and came back with a couple bottles of tequila. And I had two bottles of tequila and a bag of pretzel sticks. And I sat in a living room, Indian style. And I was a depressed drunk. And I cried, like, for no reason. I was like, what's the matter? And they kept telling me, I kept saying, hard times, you put hard times on them, hard times. What the fuck are you talking about? And then I cut the promo, the hard times promo. And I think that was my coming out of the closet doing the Dusty Rhodes impersonation. So I perfected it when, I want to say, I guess, senior in high school. Maybe.
Wow.
So I was just, yeah, because he was my guy, you know. I loved Flair. I loved the Road Warriors. I loved Paul Orndorff. But Dusty was my guy, man. Dusty spoke to me, you know. Mega Powers got me a t-shirt. He sent it to me for Christmas already. It says Son of a Plumber. I'm going to wear that next week. We'll do some Dusty Rhodes. I got a nice Flair promo, too. It's hysterical. But, yeah, man, Dusty speaks to me. The common man.
The common man.
The son of a plumber.
If you will.
If you will. Risk your business when you mess with the dream. Risk your business. All right, so let's get into Dusty.
Yep.
This is really not really a match.
I mean, Hawk gets involved, and then Sting comes in for the run-in to save...
Wait, what's Nick saying?
We need to do a backyard-style thing in Orlando. Phil can relive his days as Dusty. I'll take a gamble and sell the hell out of it.
You don't want me to wrestle anymore. You don't want me to wrestle no more. I ain't backyard wrestling. Crazy bastard.
And then Nick will hit you with the German suplex.
Right. Anyway.
Let's go.
Guys, what you were saying?
Just saying that it really wasn't much of a match, you know. A Hawk eventually gets involved in the match. They put a beating on Dusty, and all of a sudden, Sting comes in for the save. And that was pretty much it. Let me just get my notes real quick. What we got here? Where are we? Here we go. So, let's see what we got here. Dusty uses the elbow a lot, and Enemy sells for a change. Ellering gets involved and takes an elbow between the eyes. Finally, Road Warrior Hawk runs in and attacks Dusty for a 3-on-1. That brings out Sting to make the save. Dusty grabs a chair and nails Animal in the back of the knee for the DQ at around 2 minutes. And that was pretty much it, you know?
Dusty gets disqualified now. So now, on the December 10th edition of Championship Wrestling, which is the following week, they pick Japanese legend Tenryu as their third.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And Tenryu is... First of all, Tenryu, if you guys know Japanese wrestling, Tenryu is like... If you looked up stiff in the dictionary for wrestling, Tenryu was stiff.
He wanted to make it look legit.
He was a beast. I seen him chop dudes, like... And you thought that he was... concaving their chest, you know what I'm saying? So Tenryu is, and that's their boy. See, the Road Warriors made big waves in Japan. They were, no matter what they did in the States, when they went to Japan, they were gods.
Well, when they went to Japan, like, you got to keep in mind, they were massive, the Road Warriors, in comparison to the Japanese guys. So the fans were attracted to the Road Warriors. I mean, even when Hawk went there by himself and formed another tag team with, what's his name? The Japanese guy.
Oh, the Hellraisers.
The Hellraisers. What was the other guy? His.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So even with that team, they made waves over there in Japan. Yeah. So, I mean, they were a popular team in Japan. You can't deny it.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They made money.
They made money. Yeah, money. Money. So this brings us to the main event.
Oh, dude. This is the match of the night.
Let me tell you. So the Midnight Express are in a very awkward situation right now. They just lost the World Tag Team Championship. Badly. But they were a face team. And all of a sudden they get jumped by now the new Midnight Express, who's Randy Rose and former partner Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condrey, with Paul Heyman exactly. Paulie Dangerously.
Yep.
And they jump Cornette and they smack the phone over his head and they beat him with the racket.
Bloodied him, man.
Bludgeoned him, yeah. So, see, Cornette to me could be the way. He still cuts the same kind of promos. I like him better as a heel.
I like the Midnight Express better as a heels. Oh, they're so much better.
Love the Midnight. Either way, Midnight Express. They're good. They didn't have to talk.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you know, it's great because when JJ and Flair would come out, no matter, they were just talking shit. Like, you know, Flair puts everybody over.
Yeah,
like, we talked about that. But JJ was calling people out, and Cornette was like, yo, listen, man, you want to call us out? We got you, you know? And I'm going to play a promo after the match, but this was a good friggin' match. Like, I really enjoyed this match. I actually watched it twice.
You know, want to know something? Like this is another thing that shocked me. The Midnight Express was the main event with Flair and Wyndham.
Well, that's why they were the main event, because they got Flair and Wyndham. Wyndham being the U.S. champion.
Yep.
And Flair, of course, the world heavyweight champion. And it made perfect sense because, you know, they're calling each other out. Why not? It was, again, the NWA did something really well. Not only did they tell stories in the ring, but they... Guys got involved in other guys' shit, and it still was okay. It was like if you and I were feuding, and your tag team, like let's say you and I had a beef and you were in a tag team, I would fight you, your tag team partner, and some other fucking heel before I get back to you after you beat me up. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not, aw, come on, Jason. Not as awkward as Robert Gibson's eye.
Ring it.
Shit, wrong express. There you go. So, what up, Jason? My man right there, Grooms, the big beef. You know why they call him Beef?
Tell me.
He's massive.
Is he really?
I wouldn't. He's got arms like legs and legs like people. He's fucking massive. I ain't fucking with that dude. Anyway, so, yeah, it was like, it always happened that way, and it made sense. Like, it was okay that, like, this happened. And if this happened in WWF in 1988, you'd be like, huh? Why? Why are these guys fighting each other? Because there was a lot of shit talking going on. They used that platform, that Saturday night platform, to run your mouth, you know? So, okay. Another thing too interesting. Stan Lean is the only student of Ric Flair.
Really?
Ric Flair didn't train anybody but Stan Lean.
Wait a minute, I thought Flair trained...
Not before his kids. I'm talking about, like...
No, I thought he trained, what's his name? The other Nature Boy.
Buddy Landell?
But yeah, I thought he trained Buddy Landell.
No.
Really?
Buddy Landell was from a different promotion. He was from a different part of the world at that point. Yeah, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, every time I saw them mix it up, I'm like, oh, this is great, you know? And Stan Lean had a very successful tag team career. He was in the Fabulous Ones.
Fabulous Ones.
And the Midnight Express, you know. And he was a successful guy.
Did he have a decent singles career? Because I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
I just know he was a great tag team wrestler.
So. Yeah. A lot of guys just didn't click as a, you know, Bobby Eaton, you know.
TV champ.
Yeah, TV champion. And multiple time tag team champion, too.
He just couldn't talk. I don't know why he didn't like talking on the mic.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this, man.
You do it, bro.
Now, I want to point something out, too. Besides this being the transition point, this was the first time that TBS experimented with the top-down camera angle.
I heard that not too many people liked it.
No, because it was comparable to the referee eye at the end of Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Turner loved his wrestling, and he wanted to enhance the product. I'm not mad at that. It just didn't sell well.
No.
Not with the... They didn't have the fucking pyro at that point. They didn't have, like, the big elaborate stage. This was just the ring match and the little the apron gimmick, and then that was it. They didn't have nothing extravagant.
No.
Which is their style, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, as long as the wrestling product, the matches in the ring are good, it doesn't matter what the arena looks like to...
Right. I just wanted to point that out because this match featured a lot of those camera angles because they wanted to... It was the main event. So, all right. So, let's get into it. I don't know if I'm getting into the whole match.
No, don't do the whole thing. I mean...
Yeah, it's a long match.
It's it's almost 20 minutes, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 17 minutes and 41 seconds.
There you go.
Like, I pulled up the Wikipedia gimmick. I didn't want to look at that. I wanted to look at the UTC. I didn't know the name of the place. I didn't write it in my notes. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So Bobby kicks out of a clothesline, and tags in. Eaton comes back in, kicks out. Wyndham gets a gut wrench suplex and a knee drop. Wyndham then hits the sleeper, but Bobby gets out pretty quickly. Back in comes the Nature Boy, who chops Bobby to the mat. Flair attempts to drop Eaton, but Bobby fires back with two blows. They trade blows back and forth. Flair does the flop just before reaching Wyndham for the tag. He falls on his face. Wyndham is finally tagged in, but Bobby tags in Stan Lane. Here comes Stan Lane with this karate kick on Barry, one on Flair. A backdrop on Barry, one on Flair. Double noggin knocker on the heels, and now Eaton's back in the ring. Double goozle on Wyndham, and Lane karate kicks Flair over the top rope outside. Eaton then hits the Alabama Jam on Barry Wyndham,
right?
And then this match, of course, is awesome. It's fantastic. Dylan, JJ attempts to interfere, but Cornette stops him with a tennis racket. Eaton covers Barry, and the ref's getting Lean out of the ring. Of course, here comes Ric Flair. Nails Bobby Eaton in the back of the head with Dylan's shoe and rolls Wyndham over for the win, on top of him for the win. Really good match. So back and forth, a lot of hot tags, a lot of...
psychology, man.
Just ring psychology. Good point, Choppy. Really good point. I'm not. There comes a time where you have to look at things and be like, man, these guys were all meant to be in a ring with each other.
I agree. I mean, I feel like people have to realize that also with Barry Wyndham, the guy was legitimately what, 6'7", I believe, and a lot of the times, a guy his size should not be wrestling the way he wrestles. And he would do stuff off the top rope. He would just do the brawling. He was technical as well. He's a great all-around performer. He was. And then when you put him in a tag team match, oh my fucking God, was he good. I mean, and of course, Flair speaks for himself. He's just amazing. And the Midnight Express were just great bumping machines as well. So
what is Beef saying in the ring?
Pat Patterson traded blows with many unidentified opponents back in the day.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Jesus!
Toasty!
Oh, boy.
Woo!
Woo!
When you get on Space Mountain, you'll be like this.
Right, Rage?
I am the king of bacon.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. We know. You're the king of nothing, Rage. Oh, man. Anyway.
But the match was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It was great.
Right, Bobby Heenan?
What the fuck are you doing?
That's the whole Brian Pillman gimmick right there. I love it.
Anyway, yeah. It was great. It just meant to happen, man. When you guys... Listen... This is like the warm up to the big match, you know.
I just wish the match went a little bit longer. I mean, I wish they had cut the time on the.
Well, no, I wish it was a 10-minute match with two more matches. If you put seven matches and make this a 10-minute match, you take 10 minutes off this match. It's still a fucking bomb burner.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree, but
you know what I'm saying. You have to listen. It with cable television when you had less than 7 or 8 matches, it was. Promo, commercial, match, promo, commercial, match, promo, match, match, promo. And then and match, promo, and I'm going to play the last one, which is Jimmy Cornette right now. But he cuts a promo after the fact.
And he talks, I guess, 65 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, of course. Let's hear from Mr. James E. Cornette.
Tremendous tag team event. I know, Jim Cornette, it ended not exactly like you wanted, and you're very upset right now.
What you had right there was four guys that are the best in the world at what they do, and they got in the ring and they beat each other half to death right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, brother. And just like I told J.J. Dillon, let them play, let them go, because Ric Flair, whatever anybody else thinks of him, he's the best wrestler that has ever set foot in a wrestling ring. Barry Windham come into his own, and the Midnight Express, I still claim, and they proved it there, are the equal or better of any tag team combination that's ever been in this sport. That's why I said, let them go. Let's see what happens. And they beat each other half to death, and Bobby Eaton proved he's been fighting since he was 5 years old. You can ask anybody in Huntsville, Alabama, and he stood toe-to-toe with you, Ric Flair. And Stan Lane, he's got more guts in his little pinky than Barry Windham does in his whole stinking body, because Stan Lane stood toe-to-toe with Barry Windham. So it was up to J.J. Dillon, and J.J., I had my eye on you through the whole thing. And I knew when I come over there, you were trying something sneaky, so I give you a whop. Little did I know that shoe was going to fumble its way into the ring, and Ric Flair picked it up, and that's the thing that I can't stand, that I can't believe, that Ric Flair, you had to stoop, because you know you were about to be embarrassed on national television. You had to stoop to taking J.J. Dillon's shoe and whopping Bob Eaton in the head with it. Well, let me tell you something. There ain't going to be nothing like that going on at Starrcade, because if you get disqualified, Ric Flair, you're going to lose that title. And in the meantime, J.J. Dillon, I'm going to say this to you. The Midnight Express proved beyond a shadow of a doubt just exactly how good they are. We've already started fixing the horsemen. There's two of them left, and that's Flair and Windham. And J.J., if you've got the guts to sign a contract, we want another match. Maybe bring it back here to Chattanooga, Tennessee, brother. And we are going to fix Ric Flair and fix Barry Windham. Because for the past 6 weeks now, the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette have got dumped on and dumped on heavy. We got beat for the World Tag Team titles through questionable circumstances. You got the original Midnight Express, brother, coming here and think they're going to do something. And now this. Well, let me say this. We are back in business again. The Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, bigger and better than ever. And we're going to get our self-respect back. We are going to take the first step, the tip of the iceberg toward paying all the people back that have jumped on us in the past. And all the people out there across America who have seen fit to put aside the personal differences and support us. Brother, we're going to pay the people back. We're going to beat some people up for you that have seen fit, no matter what we said, no matter what we've done, to support us, because you know we're right. Thank you very much.
All right, Jim.
All right.
Like I said, 65 miles an hour.
Clash of the Champions, number 4 in the books.
Yep.
The prequel to next week's throwback.
It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to end the year right. I'm still on the fence about doing another show after Christmas because I'm on vacation, but maybe I'll just lay low and recharge the batteries and get ready for another year.
We'll do next week.
We'll do next week. And then
we skip.
And then we'll come back in the new year.
Nice and fresh.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, so we'll keep everybody in touch with everything. Of course, we'll be on social media. But next week, Choppy, myself, the Mega Powers will be in the studio with Tony Z. Our annual Christmas party. If you've heard any of the other parties, it's just a drunken pizza eating nightmare.
It's gonna be fun.
We're gonna get pizza. We're gonna drink. We're gonna celebrate the holidays, and I'm gonna end 2016, hopefully on a brighter note. And yes, Jason, my beard is a little patchy on Facebook. I tried to buzz it and I cut myself a little bit, but it's growing in nicely again. So yeah, that's why it's patchy. I never had this much facial hair before because I didn't like it, but the wife likes it, so I'll keep it on.
Listen, happy wife, happy life, my
friend.
That's
what I'm saying. All right. You should come back. Hour. Get it back. Hour. You fuck. This is Andrew Dice gimmick. Fuck back. got a bad back hour. Get it? You fucking hunchback.
There it is. He just put
that. Yeah. Our back. Get it? Dude, we've been doing this to each other for 20 years. It does not get old. You fuck. I like when Dice goes, you fuck. He just cuts him off, you know? All right. I'm pulling this train into the station. It's been a very, very, very long week. I got to sleep in tomorrow and probably shovel snow.
Oh, no. It shouldn't be that bad.
They said 3 inches tomorrow.
They said, I heard that it's supposed to start snowing at midnight, and then it's supposed to, like, melt. Not on Sunday, but hopefully tomorrow, they said.
I hope so. It's too early for me to fucking shovel
snow. I don't think you're going to have to shovel anything, dude. You'll be all right.
All right. Well, let's stop pulling this train in and do some stuff. All right, so listen. Put this up later on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEmRadio.com. Let's see. We're going to do a bunch of shit, man. Let's see. Twitter, at TBuckleTBacks. Do you use Twitter?
Sometimes.
Not, okay.
Sometimes.
All right. Of course, we're on Ustream. We're on Audio Boom. We're on TuneIn. On the Rant 2, RantEmRadio.com. I mean, we're all over the place now. Roku. So, yeah, Roku. On the Roku, yeah.
It's PlayStation.
Cool. PlayStation, Xbox, your sister's Walkman. Listen. Go to iTunes, leave a review, please, and on Stitcher, leave a review also. It helps us out immensely. We have t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. It's 4 designs. Go buy a shirt. A little bit of the portion of your purchase keeps my website up and keeps the show free for all of you guys, so if you could, help us out. Support all the shows that are not on the networks. You know, Post-Match, Talk Brunch. There's a bunch of them on there. There's a bunch of shows on there. I'm drawing a blank because I'm not looking at the website, but there's just a bunch of shows that I have links to. Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, of course.
Neckbreaker.
Oh, that's on the Shining Wizards Network. Yeah. Them and all those guys. Support them all. As always, just support everybody. That's, you know, support your local podcasts, your local bands, music. Support all of it, you know?
Did you see what your boy Jason just said?
3 inches, that makes the weather twice the man choppy is. 3 inches where? 3 inches back? Because he lives in fucking Iowa, and all they have is corn and snow out there.
And fucking tornadoes.
This dude has... He has the ice capades. He skis to work every day, you know? This fucking clown. Listen, guys.
What a mook.
Thank you for everybody in the chat room tonight. Thank you for Choppy for coming through tonight. Thank also, you. We'll see you guys next week, man. We will see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Say the N-word. Be fucking kind, man. Tolerance.
Peace.
Peace.